I would say that a real life story comes from really, you know, the lower and the lower caste women who are not only facing a gender difference, but also facing a caste difference which stigmatizes their very identity. And the kind of, discrimination that they face because of that, and I'll give you an example. There was a scheme by the government where women of villages were to be given money to be able to earn their own livelihood or create their own livelihood. So some of the women, you know, thought of becoming vegetable vendors in the village. And it so happened that there was a lower caste woman and an upper caste woman who became vegetable vendors, and nobody would go and, you know, buy vegetables from the lower caste woman, but they would all go to the upper caste woman and buy vegetables. So this kind of, you know, situations that you face where there is not just, you know, a lack of political will, there is a on the ground social reality which we are not ready to face, which we are not ready to factor into our, let's say, solutions that we think of when you think of such women, or when you think of women per se, you know. We are not willing to accept it. And the moment you start accepting that there are various layers that make up a gender, you know, discriminated situation, then the solutions that you think of will also be much more practical. And just a kind of blanket provision, you know, for every woman that we set up a school and all women will go to it, all girls will go to it, is not going to solve the problem. You have to understand where these girls are coming from. They're coming from societies where they're not only facing discrimination because they are girls, and they should not have been born, because of being born a girl in a family is not as important as being a boy in a family, especially in the Indian situation, where you can see it in the kind of adverse sex ratios that we have in India, where there are some, 880 girls in some regions to 1,000 boys. So you can look at the level of discrimination, where infanticide is still a practice. When a baby girl is born, she is, you know, put to death. So I think somewhere when we look at the factors, we have to keep an eye on the challenges. And the solutions which will emerge from these, from looking at challenges more closely, will be more meaningful solutions. The solutions today that we have in our society are much more to do with, you know, schemes for women or cash endowments for women. You have what they call the self-help groups. And these self-help groups, what do? They actually create groups of women, come together, and they, you know, generate income for themselves. But often these self-help groups forget, or the people organizing these self-help groups forget, that there is a class and caste dynamic that they need to deal with also. And when they don't do that, a lot of time these self-help groups don't work out. So somewhere I think the solutions need to come much more from taking a closer look at the factors that are leading to discrimination of women, or leading to this inability to pull women out of their socio-economic situations. And I think a very important tool in the hands of the state to be able to empower women and to be able to, let's say, look at it as a solution is, again, and I would still say, education. But education has become a very hackneyed solution, and they say that education along with employment is going to provide the solutions for women's, you know, situation in the world and in the country today. But I think education, not only the way it is today, it has to be quality education which trains women to be able to, you know, help themselves emerge out of these situations that they find themselves in. For example, a woman, if she's educated, should be able to move out of her village, find herself a job, and be able to earn an income for herself and her family if need be. So these kinds of solutions which are real, which really give women power. Just in education, which we find in the government schools and the private schools in villages today, are not the solution. Because this education is very elementary. Two, there is no manner in which to assess whether that education is such that it will give the girl a power to realize her full potential or not. Because I think ultimately knowledge and education is what is really going to pull women out of this situation, because then they will be able to raise their voice, they will be able to articulate what their needs are, which they're not able to do today. This education is not giving them that power. So yes, it is the ultimate tool to empower women, but not the way it is today. And I think economic independence also, which comes from education, is a very important solution to look at.